It's got a death curse.
Don't bother me, be like me. And then who will help you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
It's budget Demi Moore.
And budget Scott Baio.
And budget Gregory Hines.
Yep.
Is that all you two are going to do this weekend? Smoke dope?
Why not, man? Is there a law against it?
I looked in the credits and his name was Schwartz Goldenstein. Wouldn't
face
me at all.
That's racist.
Hey, I'm not saying any. I'm just saying.
Did I do something wrong? Did I?
That in a horror movie, there's a continuity error.
Silence!
In these horror films? My goodness, no!
Maybe we shouldn't do this, Ali.
Hey, we gotta even the score, don't we?
Nobody's gonna get hurt, okay, babe?
Right.
Six, seven, eight, nine, I would score much higher than this film. Jason X, fuck you.
You are indeed, all of you. Kind and generous young people.
You don't always need an explanation for every single horror movie. This made absolutely no sense to me.
Get nude. I want Steve Miner on the phone immediately. Make it happen.
Take this in the bar and start porn. And find Fox.
When the cops were escorting her from the house at the end of the movie,
I thought they were going to take her to the bar. But the last thing you see is the bar. Pain still hurts for this
because he's still mortal, right? He's
yes. Yeah. He bleeds. And if he can bleed, we can kill him.
This is Cash Wampum welcoming you back to the Horror 101 podcast. We hope you had an excellent Halloween last month. We know we did. But there wasn't that many trick-or-treaters this year. We got about half what we usually do, and reports from most other areas, at least here in Windsor, Ontario, were about the same. And it wasn't raining, wasn't even that cold. What gives? Is Halloween on the way out? Was it just a fluke? I don't know. What I do know is the lack of whippersnappers left Nude and I a ton of candy, which we've been pawning off on guests for the last couple of weeks.
Here, eat these!
Oh man, I've already had 15 Twix, I can't eat anymore.
Hey, don't be fucking rude, just you hear what I said, eat this fucking candy.
Oh my god, my stomach.
We had exceeded our storage limit for our Podomatic Pro Plus account back at the beginning of the year, so some of you who have been marathoning all of our shows have noticed the first few are no longer available and have been asking about them. There is a link on the right-hand side of our main website page. Visit horror101.ca so you can download the earlier shows. They are still available. You'll notice a donate button in the same area. We know that there's about 2,000 of you that regularly listen to the show. If just a quarter of you donated one quarter every quarter of the year, we would have more than enough to boost our hosting and probably get some Horror 101 swag going if you're interested. Also, every time our podcast is played directly from the Podomatic site instead of an embedded link or an iTunes or Stitcher hit, this boosts our reputation significantly and helps to keep us in the top 10 section, which really helps in promoting the show. So if you go to horror101.podomatic.com and play a few of our shows in your browser, we'd appreciate that. And now it's time for another threequel show. We had two options to cover this time, and we were split on which movie we should spotlight for our 70th podcast, Friday the 13th 3 or Omen 3. We let you choose by voting on Facebook and Twitter, and it was a landslide decision. So tonight it's the world-famous Brian Stewart, cult sensation Nick McPherson, the nefarious Paul B., the lovely Nude and myself giving you our take on Steve Miner's Friday the 13th Part 3.
Sam Hoffman just messaged us. I'll read this now. I just got into your podcast about 3 weeks ago, and I'm nearly through the entire catalog. That's over 3 days of fucking podcast,
Jesus
man.
Jesus Christ.
Dude, it's over three days.
Hey, it's going to be like that meme that when you posted was like, you got any more of those podcasts?
You got any more of those Ben podcasts?
Eye twitching.
He goes on to say, longtime horror lover over here, just wanted to say, I absolutely love your podcast. I feel like your show is a reflection of nights hanging out with my own friends sitting around and talking about various topics. I love your views on a lot of the films. My friend loves your show too, and even started picking up some of the movies you cover that we haven't seen that we can get together and watch them. With that said, I just want to say thank you. I look forward to so much more from you all. Well, thank you very much, Sam.
Yes,
and that's basically what we're doing here.
Yeah.
We get together, we talk horror, we watch a film, we talk more horror, and then I spend a week cutting all this shit together.
And then we don't see you for like 2 weeks.
That's right.
You've been busy.
So there was a Friday the 13th marathon over at Horvath's back in September, which we...
Yep.
And he was going to go through all of them. We said, okay, we're staying for the first four.
We did four.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because by the time the fourth one was done, it was 1:30. He started it at 6.
The best one, though, by far.
Okay, if I was 19, I'd have done all... Not at least the first nine, because
yeah.
Jason X can suck my fucking dick. I'm just putting that out there.
You probably watch it more frequently, though.
If it did, yeah.
I know Brian's disappointed, but I am happy to watch a Friday the 13th film. Especially this one,
because
it is historically important to Friday the 13th.
Yes, yes it is.
This isn't the one with Feldman, is it?
No,
that's four.
That's four, right? Yeah.
And I will say this right now, and I'll put this in the podcast, that four is scores better than three.
Yes,
yeah.
Four is my favorite of the series.
I think I was just being hopeful.
Friday the 13th, Part 3 in Super 3D, rated R.
Part 3 is cheesy. Because they focus so much on the fucking 3D bullshit.
And that was the thing about 1983. All these horror films were all, for some reason, 83, they went 3D, Amityville 3D,
Jaws
3D, Friday the 13th,
yeah.
Part 3 3D. All these part 3s, they were doing 3D in 1983.
Yeah.
Say that 10 times as fast as you want. Part 3 had the same director as part 2.
Yep.
It was a Steve Miner film.
Steve
same
Miner.
Guy that directed House.
And Lake Placid.
Yep.
Who knows what else? Yeah.
So, I mean,
a bunch of schlock stuff. But yeah.
He's good at it, though.
Part 2 was a fantastic sequel.
Yep.
Bringing Jason in
yep.
as the killer. Baghead Jason having the Shrine of Mom.
Wait,
and all that shit.
My favorite shot in all of Friday the 13th is in that movie.
Remember when it was on the screen? I'm like, Brian Stewart, he's through the window! He's going through the window! Look at
that shot through the cabin window when she's completely clueless is my favorite shot. It's amazing.
And then she catches him through the window. She's like, oh shit, better fire this place up real fast.
Yep.
Jason, Mother is talking to you! Jason, Mother is talking to you.
I just want to go on the record. The mindfuck that Ginny pulls on Jason at the end of part 2 was absolutely brilliant.
Boy, come kneel down.
So, it starts out with the first 5 minutes of part 2. Like, we need a refresher. These movies came out one after the other.
They were
like
a year and a half of each other.
Like, not even a year.
They milked it a bit, too, because that went on a long time for a flashback. I mean,
it gave you the whole Ginny in the shack bit.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't like is, and somebody's gonna have to prove me wrong here. I don't have. I don't want to go back.
Is this gonna be another argument?
No. When the first scene of the new film is him on the floor, taking the machete out of himself and throwing it on the ground and just kind of bustling away.
Yeah.
Right. I'm pretty sure at the end of part two, when he comes through the window and grabs Ginny, it's still in his shoulder. Does anybody agree with me before we do this?
It's been so long since I've seen two, I wouldn't dare debate it.
I remember in two towards the end, I thought so.
I'm pretty sure that machete was still in his shoulder.
Are you saying that in a horror movie there's a continuity error?
A silence!
In these horror films? My goodness, no! So you are indeed correct, sir.
I am correct. That should not be there.
Well, what you don't see is that after he takes it, he puts it back.
Yes.
It's like, you know what?
You're not supposed to take the knife out to stop the bleeding.
My shoulder.
It accessorizes very well with the rest of my burlap
sack.
Maybe
he realized he's not supposed to
use
the knife.
This is a convenient knife rest.
So, okay. The first scene of the original Friday the 13th, part 3 footage, is false.
It's inaccurate.
So does that destroy the whole series now?
That was half shot.
This movie is bunk. It's formed on a base of a lie.
The movie is built on lies.
Actually, what makes it worse is that it was directed by the same person.
Miner! Yeah. Steve Miner! Get nude! I want Steve Miner on the phone immediately. Make it happen. Call the man up and say, what the fuck?
Jason's a legend, Jim. A legend.
The original story for this film, which I just read in the trivia section, they wanted Jenny to come back dealing with her trauma in the hospital.
Right.
And they wanted Jason to go after her in revenge and start cleaving through people in the hospital. But I'm almost glad they didn't do that, because that's Halloween fucking 2, man.
Yeah.
Let's go to the beginning, then.
The
hardware store owners or whatnot, fodder.
This movie padded a lot. Like, the flashback running extra long for 5 or 6 minutes, then that whole setup just to watch two people die, just to have our main cast drive past the crime scene on the road.
What I did like, however, is when she hears a noise and she looks outside, and they had the balls to show you Jason. Like, right. If you look, it's him without a mask, without anything.
Yeah.
He's there, and then he just kind of walks behind a sheet that's hanging there. I thought that was interesting. Yeah. I liked that.
You're also kind of looking at it afterwards, like, you know, after the mask becomes so iconic. Because at the time, they didn't know the mask was going to be anything. It was just the gimmick, right?
Not just that, but this is the day after Friday the 13th, yeah. Part 2. Where's all this fucking hair? He had a whole bunch of long fucking hair. And a beard.
Yeah.
Where'd it go? Did it just fall off in a day?
Well, what you don't see is after he puts the machete back in, he rolls over into a campfire and self-immolates.
No, he shaves.
He uses the machete.
And then he puts it back. He
uses the blood as a lubricant.
Don't touch him. You don't know where he's been.
What are you doing down there, okay?
Thank you.
What are you doing,
Jack? Thank you.
You are indeed, all of you. Kind and generous young people.
Something else they emulated on the way to the camp, there is a harbinger in this movie, though nowhere near as good as in the first
creepy
Ralph. No, but it is Buck Flower, and I love Buck Flower.
Look upon what his grace has brought unto me.
What is that?
I found this today. There were other parts of the body.
That's an eyeball!
But he said he wanted me to have this. Yes. He wanted me to warn you. Look upon this omen, and go back from whence ye came. I have warned thee.
It's not quite as interesting, though.
It's not quite as interesting, his eye coming out, or an eye that he's showing.
Yeah, it was a little too goofy.
The Lord gave this to me.
He was more believably crazy. I don't know. Maybe because we
saw 30.
Well, because Buck Flowers is only in it for 30 seconds, so it just seems so kind of ham-fisted.
But he throws an eye at everybody.
That was only there for you, Paul.
Yes.
Yeah, the old Harbinger guy wasn't Buck Flower.
That wasn't Buck Flower?
No, David Wiley.
Oh, shit. I was wrong.
But now he can suck. He can suck now, right?
That guy fucking sucks. Whoever he sucks.
Hey, kiddo. Don't let your imagination run away with you.
But, you got the two people at the beginning of the movie killed. And then you got the new cast, the meat and potatoes of the cast, that's going back to this place by the water, that's near where all this shit happened.
New name.
And they're going, they're driving past these people in body bags being put into a van, and one of the friends is like, don't let your imagination run away with you. No, it's just fucking homicide next door.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
It's just homicide, no problem.
Is that all you two are going to do this weekend? Smoke dope?
Why not, man? Is there a law against it?
There are better things to do with your life.
Like what?
I can't think of anything.
Hey, let's share the wealth with those less fortunate up front here, huh?
It's budget Demi Moore.
And budget Scott Baio.
And budget Gregory Hines.
Yep.
Fucking this whole cast. And the girl that was dating the hand walker was budget Buck Rogers.
Erin Gray?
Yeah.
I could buy that.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
And Erin Gray was in a Friday the 13th film. It all ties together.
Mm-hmm. Yep, she was in part 9.
Part 9.
And she was his sister.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, who's Shelley? Like a budget Seth Rogen?
It's my bag. I'll take care of it.
Shelley, what are you doing in there? Why aren't you down at the lake with everybody else?
Oh, they said they were going skinny dipping, and I'm not skinny enough.
Wow.
That guy screams Jew. That guy screams Jew.
Jufro!
I looked in the credits and his name was Schwartz Goldenstein. Wouldn't
face
me at all.
That's racist!
Hey, I'm not saying any. I'm just saying.
Okay, his name is Larry Zerner.
Yes.
After this film, he went on to become a successful lawyer in California.
Of course! Of course!
Oh, shit.
Sure!
Chris, leave him alone. He doesn't know any better.
It was a joke!
Chris.
It was just a joke! I didn't mean to.
You never mean to.
The part that really bothered me was the fake death in the closet when he falls out and then she gets all upset.
This is the best effect
and
in the movie.
I didn't mean to. No, you couldn't have planned this, Beth. Like this. Obviously you meant to. You put on the makeup effect, you staged it, you carried it out.
Asshole.
Yeah, I don't know. I hated his character in this movie. He was just
so
annoying,
like,
from the beginning.
He was so annoying, but he was such like a fucking loser. He was like,
I didn't mean to.
Nobody's gonna like. He shows up on a date wearing that fucking date rapist mask.
Stabs right? his buddy in the back with a fake knife.
With a fake knife. Comes on a fucking trip with a harpoon.
The whole point is to scare him, is for him to turn around and see him with a knife, not stab him with a fake knife. That's not scary, that just hurts.
He did, however, he was the character that gave us the mask.
Yes. Yes. So historically important.
I'll take that now. Is this your rubber? Didn't your mama teach you manners? If you want something, you ask. Nice.
Please be cool.
This film has the worst punks ever. Bicycle gang.
We are bicycling enthusiasts.
I could put this on par with the punks from Short Circuit 2. That's about as. Yeah.
That's a. I don't even remember. That is an obscure fucking reference.
Let's kick face.
Yeah, that's
let's kick your balls into our face.
You know what I like in them too? The bullies in Police Academy.
Oh, the one that picked out Sweet Chuck?
Yeah, all of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're just the over-dramatized movements and threats, but it's really, there's no basis for it, and there's hardly really...
Oh, yeah, the Police Academy 2 with Zeb.
Yeah.
Yeah, not lethal at all, just goofy.
Yeah, just goofy, silly.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit, it's bright. Let's get out of here.
You son of a bitch! I'm gonna come after you, bastard! You ain't getting away with this, goddammit! I'm gonna get you!
It's like, I scuffed your motorcycle, so your brilliant revenge is arson.
Of somebody else's property.
Yeah. And horrible arson.
Like, I could be renting this cottage, you know?
Maybe we shouldn't do this, Ali.
Hey, we gotta even the score, don't we?
Nobody's gonna get hurt, okay, babe?
Right.
So they're going to siphon all the fucking gas out of this freaking mystery machine
van. Which in itself is revenge enough.
How'd they know the van was theirs? They were in a bug before.
The barn is made of fucking old, decrepit
wood and
with hay all over the place. All I have to do is throw a fucking match in there and the whole place would be Torch City.
Take this in the barn and start pouring. And find Fox.
So yeah, hay is not flammable unless you douse it with about 30 or 40 gallons of gasoline.
Brian Stewart, you love that barn. That barn is
your favorite thing ever. Favorite movie set ever.
That's right. The only people that had any reason to be in that barn were the stupid kids who wanted to burn it down. At least that was a legitimate reason to go to the barn. Everyone else just assumed people wander in there. They're like, hey, I wonder if so-and-so's in the barn. Why? Why would they be in the barn?
So what the hell are you guys doing up there? You be talking to you.
And it's so blatantly shot for 3D.
That's my biggest problem with
it. Yeah, I have never once watched this film in 3D. Never once. So I always watched it 2D. and you can see all the forced shots that just are so unnatural and should have never been storyboarded like that.
It's the reason why I'll still only watch 2D versions of movies now.
Vera, you and I have gotten to know each other a little today, you know, and I like you. I like you a lot. I was thinking that maybe, you know, we could...
I don't think so. Look, I'm going to go outside for a few minutes, and then when I get back in, we'll talk.
No. Friend zone.
Friend
zone.
Yeah. Friend zone.
Why do you keep doing shit?
I like you, but we will never, ever fuck. Just get that clear now.
I might, at some point, if I get drunk, give you a sympathy hand job, but that's as far as this is going.
The basic story of Part 3 is Chris bringing her five friends to her parents' cottage. Parents are nowhere to be seen. Apparently, it's been a long time since Chris has been back to this place because a couple years back, she was assaulted by Jason in the woods during the middle of the night. According to her story, she passes out while struggling with him in the woods, and then she wakes up in her own bed and her parents never say a word about it. That's some shitty writing. There's just something that don't jive there. I don't like it.
The whole did he not rape that girl? How did she survive? What was the issue with that? Like, somehow she's the one person who just happens to survive Jason's wrath, but somehow she survived after falling asleep at a tree. Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It's like the writers were flirting with the idea that Jason could be a rapist, but they stopped short of actually saying it, and I'm certainly glad they did, because after a dozen films with Jason as the killer, there's a few things that us fans have come to admire about him. He's principled, in his own macabre way. He doesn't rape his victims, and he doesn't take prisoners. I'm looking at you, fucking 2009 remake bullshit movie. That's it. Either you escape or you die. There's no in-between. And if they would have committed to making him a piece-of-shit rapist in Part 3, then it would have been impossible to revere Jason as we do today, the silent, unwavering killing machine. But either way, Chris is gonna have to square off against this attacker once again, but not before he cuts through her friends first. So let's get to those deaths now.
Hey, I dropped your wallet. Sorry. I got it. Who are you? What are you doing? Hey, now cut that out right now. That's not funny.
But it threw Vera off guard, though, in the lake. She didn't
right.
think it was anybody else but Shelley. Because the mask. She saw him wearing the mask earlier.
See, they should have shot it without showing us the mask. They could have shown the footsteps and the harpoon, and just from her point of view, going, don't, because I've done that before. Remember at the archery range?
No, but she started talking to him as if it were Shelley.
Yeah.
Right, which they could have done without showing the mask, though. They could have had him walking back out onto the dock. I just wish, it just seemed like a much better opportunity when the lights come up and there he is.
But again, we're looking at it, you know,
yeah.
afterwards, because the mask wasn't meant to be anything else. It was just there.
Yeah.
Right.
Because now we all... If they filmed a scene like that nowadays, you would have done the kill, you would have seen from the back him putting the mask on, they would have played a fucking Godsmack song.
They did it during the remake. Like, the remake, that was the big thing, right? Like,
yeah.
He finds a mask and it's this whole, you know, big moment. This one, they didn't expect the mask to be anything.
Yeah.
And the mask apparently was very close to the Detroit Red Wings mask
yes.
at the time.
Supposed to be based off of Terry Sawchuk.
Oh, Sawchuk.
Yeah.
Andy!
Yeah?
Are you still out there? I can't hear you. Andy? Can you quit fooling around?
No, very few of the gore effects hold up well. I hate to say it.
But it was cut, though. Every Friday the 13th movie is cut to ribbons.
And the big one here was when he cuts the guy in half when he's walking on his hands. That was the big one that was cut.
The aftermath of the body up top where you see, like, the torso.
Yeah,
the cross-section was good.
But the actual death was a lot more graphic. So.
Just the idea of walking on your hands and having a machete come down, like, nuts first.
Well, at least
guess
we're
walking on
high-pitched
hands.
The scream started off being very high-pitched.
Andy? Did you hear me about that beer? God, I hate when you don't answer me.
You're dead, honey.
I did like the whole Fangoria with the Tom Savini nod.
That was cool.
And right after the Tom Savini article in Fangoria.
Yep.
And then I'm like, every time I watch that, I'm thinking to myself, like, that's an original Fangoria. You're never going to see anything like it again. They're probably all destroyed.
Yeah.
And then they're dropping blood on it. I'm like, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
Where's this coming from?
Where's this coming from? Obviously up, you fucking dodo.
And then if they get splashed in the, if they feel something dripping on their head and they look down, then it's just like, all right, you deserve to die.
And then we get, it's the run through machete through the chest, which yep. Savini did in the first film, yeah. So that they were giving him a nod saying, ah, we want to recreate your Kevin yeah. Bacon death.
Not nearly as good.
Though. Not nearly no, as
not
well.
Not nearly as good.
Rain must absolutely mystify these people. Like, why am I wet all of a sudden? What is this?
That's better.
I think the reveal of the mask on Jason should have been when the lights came on in the basement of the cabin.
Oh, when he's killing
that the, was a better reveal for the mask.
When he kills the hippie?
Yeah, I think so. When he finally flips the lights on and he's just standing there. That should have been the first time we saw that mask.
Stabbed with a hot fire poker.
That would have
that would have been a bad death.
That would have sucked. A hot poker.
Yeah, we didn't really see it though.
And especially he gets it can't go back the other way. If it had gone back the other way,
that would have been
pull missed opportunity.
Yeah. Pull it out.
He's like bringing a little spine with it. Yeah.
Everybody else has taken off and left us.
You wouldn't do that.
Well, I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to go outside and take a look around.
What was that character's name again? Paul. No,
Rick.
Rick. Thank you. I did like how he was like, okay, I'm going to go out and take a look around. Then she thinks she hears something. She goes out, and she's calling for him, and the camera pans over, and Jason's got him in, like, a lock.
Yeah.
Covering his mouth. So he's, like, right there. Like, there's her last defense.
Yeah.
Like, completely incapacitated, just feet from her, and she don't know it. I liked that. That was a good... But then the transition to the crunch.
Yeah. I mean, when the guy gets his head squeezing out, it all pops out. That is so obviously a dummy. Like, it is so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not even close
to what effect, as soon as I saw it, I immediately went, Matt Damon.
Yeah, Matt Damon.
The sound effect they use for the crushing skull is the same sound effect they use for, like, a breaking terrace or, like, furniture. It didn't even sound like a skull. It sounded like he was tearing through, like...
Somebody should have called Christopher Lee and asked, what does this sound like?
Yes, they should have.
I know what crushing like a man's skull sounds like. Right.
The boyfriend, Rick, was really tall, too. Like,
yeah.
He was, like, 6'5" or something.
So, right before he dies, to see him coming off his feet so easily...
Oh, yeah. That was...
In headlocks. I like how they always throw in a little bit of snippet to say you're dealing with someone really strong.
Yeah.
You know, Jason, there's something special about this guy. He's extremely strong. He can take a lot of damage. And that just kind of... That had to evolve over the films. Until he became Franken Jason in part 6.
Yeah.
Right? And then he was just undead, unstoppable. In this film, you could slow him down or stop him.
He makes noises a lot in this
one.
It's a lot of grunting, a lot of ow, you know, a lot of pain.
I like it better when he's quiet.
Very vocal.
Yeah, I've never seen him as vocal in this one as compared to any other one.
When he got stabbed in the leg, that was good.
Even in this film, he's got self-preservation. After part 6, there's no more self-preservation. He's a tank.
Yeah.
And whatever you throw at him, go ahead. You want to hit him with a car? No problem. He'll take the hit and get up and keep coming after you. It doesn't matter where. In this film, though, when she's coming at him with the fucking van, he dives out of the way. He don't want to get hit.
Yeah.
Pain still hurts for this
motherfucker. Because he's still mortal, right?
He bleeds. And if he can bleed, we can kill him.
Kill him!
I'd have to say my favorite kill in part three is probably Budget Gregory Hines. They showed the arm coming off. Cuts off his arm and then starts hitting him with the machete, and he's clobbering, like he's dicing this motherfucker up. And there's the insult to injury Jason coming up, right? Mm. Before he was just okay with killing you, or giving the death blow, and then he was done with you. In this case, the guy's dead, but he's still fucking just hammering at him with that.
Well, you know, if he has to kill you twice, he's gonna make sure.
Well, what works about that scene is the way in which they layer the shocks. That it's not just one jump scare. We're already feeling pretty tense because she's cornered and he's approaching her and she's got no escape plan. She's done. After she bravely tosses him out of the barn and hangs him, we think it's all over. Now she's trapped, cornered, we think this is it. His appearance is such a surprise, but coupled with the surprise of him coming back is the immediate severing of the arm, followed by the attack. So everything kind of piles up very quickly there. So it's like, oh, cool. What the fuck? It hit you all at once.
She saved us. Not shit.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
The Scatman Crothers. Who said that from The Shining? Oh, here I am to save you.
Yeah. No!
And then she gets him in the mask with the axe.
Yeah.
And that gash will stay forever on that mask.
Yes.
You watch subsequent, besides five, of course.
So that's three's contribution to the lore. The mask and the gash.
The gash. Yeah. And after part six, there's a piece missing from, well, in part seven anyway, because he gets the boat motor in the face and it snaps off the beast's mask.
You can see the semi-skeletal jaw.
Yes. In part seven, they keep that. But in part eight, he gets a brand new mask. What was the name of the guy who played Jason in this film?
Not Warren Tinkle, that's part two. Richard Brooker.
Brooker, yeah.
When did he die?
2013.
Of what?
Myocardial infarction.
Heart attack.
Heart attack. Heart attack, eh? Well, he was like a trapeze artist or something. He was tall, 6'3", and he did all his own stunts.
He was in Deathstalker, I think. It's in Deathstalker.
And the Warriors from Hell?
Deathstalker.
And the Warriors from Hell, really?
They gave you the false spook with showing Jason in the window.
Yeah.
And then having him coming through the door and running after her. So you're like, oh, this shit ain't done.
What we do
and then he's gone.
Well, and the closing scene, too, is the mother in the jump scare, which is stupid because she's headless. Her head's been detached. There's no body anymore.
That was just them emulating the pop scare in the canoe of the first film.
Yeah, but it was all a dream.
It was silly.
But she's nuts
broken.
She's nuts at the end of the film. She's gone.
But that's twice, because they did that with Ginny as well, right? Isn't she... She's loopy when she gets taken away at the end of part two.
She's looking for Paul. She's wondering where Paul's at.
Okay.
When the cops are escorting her from the house at the end of the movie,
I thought they were going to take her to the barn.
But the last thing you see is the barn. You see Jason laying in the door of the barn.
Relax. Enjoy the weekend. Nothing's going to happen to you when we're all here together.
Eat some fucking shit, you fucking stupid bitch. Just kidding.
All right, let's score this. Noon!
This is tough to score. I don't know. I had big issues with continuity.
I haven't.
Issues with things that don't make a lot of sense. Not just, you know, there's no explanation. Even though you don't always need an explanation for every single horror movie, this made absolutely no sense to me. I don't know. Maybe four?
Four?
Yeah.
Explain yourself!
I just did.
It's just how I feel. Shut up!
I wasn't a big fan.
Stop screwing around. You're messing everything up.
Ryan's
you ready for this? This will shock you, because I'm going to match Ellen's four.
Really?
I agree with her. It's subpar. I hate to say it. It's not to the point where I'm not having fun watching it, but it's not a good movie. On any conceivable level, it doesn't tie into the lore very much. It doesn't give me more of the mystery of Jason. I don't care for any of the characters. Yeah, I don't really care if any of the characters live or die. There's never any suspense. The gore effects are not Tom Savini. I mean, it's fun on the level of a slasher film, but I wouldn't call it a great slasher film.
My imagination, or did it just get cold in here?
Me?
I feel like I'm being overly generous now. I actually was going to give it a 6.
Usually, I'm more generous than you.
Yeah, I know. This one, for some reason, I like it because it's crap. Like, I want to hang out in that barn. I understand the appeal.
But you just want to do that just to piss Brian off.
Look, Stewie, I'm in the barn! I'm
calling from somebody. Hey, Brian, guess where I am? Yeah, like, the only redeeming qualities of this film is he gets the mask, and he gets the gash in the mask. There were some boobs.
Between you and Shelley, I'm lucky I haven't had a heart attack already.
What's Butterball up to now?
Nefarious Paul B.
I'm going to have to say an 8.
Rob!
Fucking around. No, not really an 8.
No, don't do it. You said it, now you got to justify it.
Dance, motherfucker.
I'm like, I was all set to hear the reason for this.
Oh, yes. No takesies, backsies. I want to see you dance, around. My boy.
Sell me on the 8. I want to hear this.
No. In all seriousness, not an 8. A 5. It's a fucking... It's actually a terrible movie.
So bad!
But, because of the lore, because of the history for Jason and what comes later, I'll bump the 4 up to a 5. He gets the mask, he gets that gash. It's not a good film at all. It's got fucking terrible performances. Things that don't make any sense.
Why do you always have to be such an asshole?
I beg your pardon. I'm not an asshole. I'm an actor.
I'll give it a 6.5. Oh, 6.5.
I bet you was
generous.
6.5. What the fuck was Henry Manfredini thinking when he composed the score for this fucking film, man? You could take this music and put it over the Travolta dancing sequence in Saturday Night Live. It didn't fucking work.
Fever.
Whatever the fuck the movie's called. Again, Brian, I didn't even think about it, but you not caring about anybody in this film, you're absolutely right. Neither did I.
Why are you giving it a 6.5?
Yeah.
Because it's a Friday the 13th film.
Okay, but still, no, fuck you. I'm calling you on this bullshit.
No.
So what's your excuse about hating Jason X?
Jason X, I would give a...
Gauntlet Throne.
No. I'll have this conversation with you. Jason X, I'd give like a 2.
Why? It's a Jason film.
No, it's a fucking stupid Jason film.
So is this one.
No. This one, he's still in the fucking woods. He's still Jason. He gets the mask. Everybody else can say he gets the mask and he gets the gash. I'll go along with that. I like that part of the... I mean, this changed the Jason character. Part 5, I would give higher than this. 6, 7, 8, 9, I would score much higher than this film. Jason X, fuck you. Freddy vs. Jason, I would score much higher than this one. So up until Jason X, this is the weakest one for me.
What would you give Jason Goes to Manhattan?
I would give that a 7, 7.5.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the Friday series. Like, I really do, but...
I would actually probably score Jason Takes Manhattan about the same as this.
Yeah. And Jason X, I'd give it a little higher.
Yeah.
Like, only because I find it, like, there's much better deaths in that film.
In which one?
Jason X.
1, 2.
I know it's a rehash of the other one, but when he bashes those two chicks against the tree in the sleeping bag, that's pretty awesome.
In the fucking hollow suite? On the holodeck?
It's still fuck off. If you're gonna count Jason 5, okay, which isn't even fucking Jason.
And Jason the falling fucking star at the end of the film.
I'm not saying it's a good fucking movie, I'm saying it's more fun than this though.
Yeah,
and it's Kane Hodder. There's a point right there.
Nope. I will
God damn it.
I would still score Jason X lower than part 3, absolutely.
I would agree.
Ali is gonna be pissed he sees you screwing around. Now come on, we got shit to do.
And there it is, Friday the 13th Part 3 from 1982, directed by Steve Miner, starring Dana Kimmel and the late Richard Brooker as Jason. This film suffers a lot, unfortunately. Sure, it gives us the iconic hockey mask, but too much time and money was put into the 3D gimmick, and you can see it suffered greatly from that strategy. The acting is very poor in this one. There's barely a genuine character you can identify with. The beginning spends a lot of time reminding you where the story left off, and then just completely abandons everything, changing the appearance of Jason so abruptly. It forces a history of his character down our throats that's so confusing, we don't care. Like, at all. It's constantly ripping off the first film, using the same kills, the same final girl in the canoe with the jump scare ending. Big problems with this one. Fortunately, Joseph Zito directed a much superior Part 4, which saw the return of Tom Savini's effects and put Friday right back on track, but that's another show. We hope you enjoyed this critical look at part of the Friday franchise. Getting sick of the threequel shows yet? I certainly hope not, because we've got one more for you for December. And it's not Silent Night, Deadly Night 3. I'll give you that much right now. We actually have something special planned. I think you'll dig it. Might be a big surprise to some of you. We really look forward to recording the session. Throughout December, I'll be throwing up some Part 3 header pictures on our Facebook page just to keep you guessing. For the world-famous Brian Stewart, the cult sensation Nick McPherson, the nefarious Paul B., and the lovely nude, this is Cash Wampum saying thanks for listening and reminding you that there's a horror movie out there that's just going to scare the hell out of you. And we're going to help you find it right here at Horror 101, Educating Your Fears.
Up until Part 9, Part 5 had the largest body count. There's over 20 deaths in it and an 85-minute film. Do the math. There's like a kill every 3 minutes, and that's what a Jason film's about. If you're going to see a Friday the 13th film, you're going to see people fucking get killed. And Part 5 gave you a lot of it.
I couldn't stand the bumpkins. You know, the mother and her son.
Get off that bike and come here and eat this fucking stew!